to anything. A meeting, an event, a meetup, a dinner, an appointment, a movie. I hate being late. All the clocks in my house are set to different times, so I'm never quite sure which one is right, and so I better leave a little early to make sure I get there on time. My wife, however, does not share this feeling. She is absolutely, perfectly fine with being late. Does not ruffle her feathers in the least. She can walk in 10 to 15 minutes late, and she's fine with that. She's finally here. She can get started. 30 years ago, a little movie came out called The Hunt for Red October. It's a good movie. It still is. It's about a Russian submarine commander played by Sean Connery who defects along with the entire sub that he's commanding to the U.S. It's a movie full of action and political intrigue. There's a scene about 5 minutes into the movie. It's on board the Russian sub. Up until this point, Sean Connery and all the other actors have been speaking Russian, which makes sense because they're playing Russians. And as they talk, we, the audience, are having to read the subtitles across the bottom to know what they're saying. About 5 minutes in, there's a scene where one of the officers gets on the intercom system in the submarine. He's making an announcement. And as he makes the announcement, the camera slowly begins to focus in until it's just on his mouth. And as he's talking in Russian, all of a sudden, he starts talking in English. And the camera slowly pulls back out to reveal the whole scene again. It was a very subtle way for the director to let us know as an audience, listen, these guys are Russian. You've heard them speaking Russian. You've had to read the subtitles at the bottom. We're going to make it easier for you. You're going to hear it in English, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they're speaking Russian. Right? And it makes the movie a little bit easier to follow. My wife went and saw this movie when she was in high school. Typically, she was late. This was one of those movies that in the 1990s was on TV all the time. If you had HBO or Cinemax or any of those movie channels, or heck, even just basic cable, TBS and USA, this movie would show up on a Sunday afternoon all the time. I have probably seen this movie dozens of times simply because, oh, look, it's on again. My wife never liked this movie. I couldn't figure it out why she had such a problem with it. It's a good movie. It's a good plot. It's good writing. It's good characters. It's got Sir Sean Connery in it. I mean, how could that not be bad? She didn't like it. Just a few years ago, I was sitting down to watch the movie on purpose this time. I had the DVD, and I was putting it in to watch. My wife said, what are you going to watch? I said, I'm going to watch The Hunt for Red October. And from behind me and off to the right, I hear, so I spun around. I'm like, what? What is it with this movie? Why do you not like this movie? It's a good movie. And she said, it's stupid. I said, how is it stupid? She said, why are we at war with the British? She was late the first time she saw it, apparently about 6 minutes late, because she never saw where they switched from speaking Russian to speaking English. This whole time she believed that a British sub commander, which makes sense because again, it's Sir Sean Connery, was for some reason at war with the United States. Now it all makes sense. Today is the Sunday of Epiphany. Today is the Sunday when we celebrate the arrival of the Magi, the stargazers from the east who saw the star at its rising, who recognized a new king had been born. They have traveled a great distance to offer their congratulations and recognition to this new king. I spoke just a few Sundays ago about the theological underpinnings of the Advent and Christmas season, how theologically, we really shouldn't start singing Christmas songs until Christmas Eve. How really most of the scripture we associate with Christmas comes after Christmas, not before it. How the 12 days of Christmas, the song that everybody hates to sing, starts on Christmas Day. It doesn't end on Christmas Day. Christmas Day is the partridge in the pear tree. It's day one. Most of those things we have shifted to before Christmas. We now sing our Christmas carols all during the Advent season. We oftentimes have that Christmas scripture show up at those times. We have the decorations out right after Thanksgiving. But there are still a couple small pieces we hold on to. You may not have noticed it in our little nativity up here, but baby Jesus didn't show up until Christmas Eve, because that wouldn't make any sense because he wasn't there until he was born. The Magi have been in those windows back there for the past month because they were coming from a long ways away. Get it? But today, they're up here in the nativity. They've made it. Today is that day. You'll also notice most of the songs today are about the Magi. They're about the wise men. We three kings, angels from the realms of glory, the first Noel, all mention the wise men prominently. We haven't sung those songs before today. They have waited for us on this day of Epiphany. The Magi don't show up till today because they weren't there on the night Jesus was born. The shepherds were there, the angels were there, Mary and Joseph was there, but not the Magi. They were late. It wasn't their fault, really. I mean, when you think about transportation 2,000 years ago, they couldn't exactly hop on a jet to get there quickly. Their journey took time. They saw the star rise. They had to get permission from the courts they served in to go. They had to pack for the long journey. They had to gather the supplies like the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. They had to make the trek, whether on camel or on foot or in caravan. We don't know. They had to stop and ask for directions from Herod, who gave them a very weird vibe. Until finally they arrived. Needless to say, their journey took time. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. The word in Matthew here for child is different than the word he's used before this in Matthew chapter 2 to talk about Jesus. Those words translated from biblical Hebrew mean infant. This word child is more accurately translated as toddler, as a young child. So Jesus was a young child when the Magi showed up. It probably did not happen in Bethlehem. They were probably back in Nazareth by this time. Some scholars say it may have been as long as 2 years before the Magi finally get there. Regardless, their journey took some time. They were late. The birth had already taken place. The angels had announced it to the shepherds. The shepherds had come that night. They told Mary and Joseph what they heard and saw. And they left to tell anyone that would listen about this amazing occurrence. Mary and Joseph completed their time in Bethlehem. The census was complete. They returned home to Nazareth. Joseph went back to work as a carpenter. Mary raised Jesus. Maybe he was just at that age where he's walking or talking more, starting to run or play. And then one day, these strange travelers from afar come knocking on the door. It's been a while since that night, since the shepherds and their fantastical story about choirs of angels and heavenly pronouncements. Maybe all of that had slipped into the background during these days. You know, regular life gets in the way, and maybe the people around Jesus maybe had forgotten about the amazing things that occurred that night. But then here come these people from the east, astrologers and seers, royal advisors and councils, and they have come to see this child, to recognize him as king, and they bring kingly gifts to lay at his feet. Yes, they are late, it would seem. But surely their presence brings it all back up. That night of new life and wonder, that hope of God's Son being born into the world. They come as another sign of God's hand in this story. They come as another presence of God on this journey. They come as a reminder that something new is still happening, even if they are late. Sometimes we need reminders. We need to be awoken again. Yes, we've heard of Jesus before, but maybe we got busy. Maybe we got distracted. Maybe we forgot. We need another reminder to bring us back around, to open our eyes again, to turn us back to God once again. Later in Matthew goes on to talk about Jesus when he had grown and started his ministry, and he'd taken to telling stories, parables, these stories with a lesson. He tells this one in Matthew about laborers working in a vineyard. The owner goes out about 7 a.m. He goes down to his local Home Depot looking for some folks to work that day. He finds them milling about in the parking lot, and he hires them all. Sends them to his vineyard to work for the day. Tells them, "I'll pay you a full day's wage." And off they go. Around 9 o'clock, he goes back out. Lo and behold, there's some more laborers out there. Apparently, they were a little late. And he didn't catch them the first time. So he sends them to the vineyard as well, promising them he will pay them whatever is right. This happens again at noon. And it happens again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with more laborers who are again pretty late by now. But he sends them all out to the vineyard, promising that they will be paid what is right. Even as late as 5 p.m., with the day almost done, he finds some guys who are very, very late. They probably assumed they weren't going to get any work that day. Probably assumed, well, this is the day I'm not going to make any money. I didn't get here till the end of the day. But he comes out and finds them, and he says, "Quick, get to the vineyard." Then the day is done, and it's time to receive their pay, to receive their reward. He starts with the guys who just got here at 5 o'clock. They've only worked for an hour, but the landowner is generous, and he pays them for the full day, and everyone is fine with that. Isn't that nice? What a nice guy. How generous is he? Then he pays the 3 p.m. guys a full day's wage, and the noon guys, and the 9 a.m. people. And then finally, he gets to the 7 a.m. first in line, got there early so they wouldn't miss it guys. They've been here all day working in that hot sun. They were not late at all. And they come up to receive their reward, and they are given what they were promised, a full day's wage, and they are not happy about it. Wait a minute. We got here first. We've been here all day. I've been here since the beginning. And you're going to pay the 5 o'clock boys this much and the noon crew and the late laborers. Shouldn't we get more? We've been here since the start. The laborers make it about themselves. Instead of focusing on the landowner's generosity, they're upset, they're envious, they're mad that he was generous. How dare he be generous? How dare he give to those who just got here like he was giving to us who've been here from the start? This is greed and pride and jealousy rearing its ugly head, not content that they got exactly what they had been told they would get. The first laborers grumble and complain. This story by Jesus was a subtle message to his people at this time. The Jews had been there from the beginning. God's people, the chosen ones, the escape from Egypt, the trek through the wilderness, the arrival at the promised land. For 2,000 years they have been in this place. But now Jesus is coming and he's bringing others who are a little late to the party. He's bringing the sick, and the marginalized, and the poor, and the women, and the children, and the Gentiles. And he's promising them God's grace and love and hope and deliverance. exactly what the Jews were promised generations ago. And there are some feathers getting ruffled. Wait a minute. We have been here in God's vineyard since the beginning. We should get a little bit more. But God's generosity and promises are constant and eternal. They are the same for the first and for the last. As a matter of fact, notice Jesus' subtle introduction of the last will be first concept when he has the vineyard owner say, pay the 5 p.m. guys first and the 7 a.m. guys last. It's a story of the reorder of God's kingdom, how God's grace and hope are for everyone, whether you've been here from the start or whether you just showed up, or even if you haven't quite gotten here yet. Our longevity, our seniority in God's kingdom doesn't gain us extra privileges and honors because we are all God's children, whether we are early or late. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? It doesn't matter when you arrived here, when you first came around to God, when you first opened yourself to God's grace and love. It could have been 60 years ago or 5 minutes ago. God's love is the same. God's forgiveness is the same. God's reward is the same. It doesn't matter when you came around to God's presence in your life, when you decided to follow Jesus, when you finally put God first and yourself last. It even doesn't fully matter if that hasn't happened yet. It doesn't matter when you arrive here. It matters that you arrive here. The Magi relate. The party was over. Everybody had gone home. It had been a couple years. Joseph is working and Mary is watching Jesus, and suddenly this reminder of what is really going on comes to their doorstep. These Magi from the East who represent the world, that it will not just be the Jewish people who are delivered by the Savior, but the world has recognized a king is born. The laborers were late. It didn't matter that they were late. It didn't matter how late they were. Some of those guys, the 5 p.m. guys, were not counting on a paycheck that day. It didn't matter when they got there. It mattered that they got there. It matters that you find God's grace. It matters that you find God's love. It matters that you find God's deliverance. Not when,